Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Leroy Allen, and I am the host of the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. I would like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, our mission statement is to enhance the lives of our listeners with power-packed information and resources that ultimately make one's life better. I am equally excited about our special guest this evening, Ms. Jean Turnick. She's a well-documented real estate broker, entrepreneur, or leadership within our community, and she's a key advisor to the Life Enrichment Consulting Group, which is a group of entrepreneurs that God has trusted me with to bring financial empowerment to the city of Baltimore and surrounding counties. Jean, welcome to the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just terrific, Leroy. Thank you for this opportunity to allow me to answer any kind of questions that people might have about real estate.
Absolutely, Jean. It is certainly my pleasure. I've had the tremendous opportunity of working with you for several months now, and you have certainly been a blessing and a friend to me and to everyone who has come in contact with you and all those who are due to come in contact with you. Jean, why don't you start off by telling us just a little bit about yourself so the listeners can have some idea of who they're speaking to or who they're listening to, should I say.
Okay. Well, I've been in the real estate industry for about a little bit over 30 years. I've done just about everything in the industry. I am currently a broker, which means agents work for me. Real estate agents have to work under a broker. So I'm a real estate broker. I have my own company, Turnock Real Estate Services. And I'm also a licensed appraiser. I am licensed in the state of Maryland and Washington, D.C., and my company involves three, soon to be four, agents, and we also offer American Sign Language services. So even though we're small, you know, we have a lot of capabilities. I've also done loan origination, originating mortgages. Let me see what else I've done. Not too much I haven't done. And I'm in my last class of getting my master's in real estate from the National Association of Realtors. So, and the one person I didn't mention about in my business is I take care of all the easy stuff, but God takes care of the hard stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And congratulations on your effort and your determination to go back to school and complete your master's degree. There are so many who would love to be able to do it, but cannot do it, or at least should I say they're not aware of certain benefits that are out there that will help influence that, you know, productivity in their lives.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Even after 30
years
in the business, even after 30 years in the business, I'm learning every single class that I've taken in the master's course. I'm still learning stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jean, is there a for the listeners, is there a website that someone can go to if they want to make contact with you or something of the kind?
Yes, there's a website, www.turnockrealestate.com.
Okay. All right,
and that's
very well.
T-U-R-N-O-C-K.
Okay, very well. Jean, as has been documented, the topic of discussion for us this evening is the realtor's desk. And I'm going to start off by asking you a question of which I think it's a question that everybody want to know. And that question is, how do you see the real estate market developing as a business within the next 5 years?
It's really interesting that you ask that question because there's a lot of different ideas about what's going to be happening, and nobody has a crystal ball. But it's pretty clear if you follow technology at all. My opinion, I think you're going to see the end of a listing agent. That's an agent who represents just the seller and puts that on the market. you're going to see that disappear because says that can be handled strictly through technology. A seller can get all the tools that they need to get their house ready for sale and put it on the market, and there's several startup sites out there, I don't have the names off the top of my head, that are looking to be a portal for sellers trying to sell their own home. Conversely, I see a growing need for what we call a buyer's agent because there's so much information now available to people in the real estate field that their eyes get glazed over. They don't know what to do next, because they have different sites telling them different things, and they don't know how to put all the pieces together to end up with the house that they want for the price that they want in the time frame that they want. So, that flies against traditional advice because always the listing agent has been the strong part in the process. But I don't think it's going to stay that way.
So as it stands right now, with all of the components that it takes to make up the real estate process as relates to assisting buyers, as relates to assisting sellers, it is fair, I guess I could say, for us as listeners, being that you are the professional, to conclude that at some point, maybe if not the real estate broker, but maybe somewhere along the line, there are a number of people who may not, or a number of sellers and buyers, should I say, that may not ultimately necessarily need all of the components that come with that. Because we're talking about real estate brokers or real estate agents. We're talking about loan officers or loan brokers. We're talking about the settlement process. We're talking about all these different what I call facets that come together to make up the buying process or the selling process. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you're going to see a number of them join together and turn into a electronic portal for that process rather than having to go to a person or a company. You're going to be able to just go on and even down to the point where you're going to be able to do settlements completely online. I mean, you've got digital signatures now. Mortgage companies, there have been mortgages that have been completely done electronically. So it's just a matter of time before that whole process is going to be put together, and you're not going to have people as we know it, companies as we know it, where you walk in somebody's door and sit down and transact your business.
I see. Moving forward, the next question, Gene, can you discuss the process of buyer representation?
That's my favorite part of the pie, Leroy.
Okay.
Buyer representation today, more so than ever before, is so very, very critical. Obviously, there's two people involved in a transaction, a buyer and a seller. And an agent has to represent one or the other. You can't represent both. A buyer agent represents and looks out for the best interests of the buyer. They're able to advise them as to whether or not the purchase that they're contemplating is a good one, how to put together their deal, point out things that are wrong. You know, there's a lot of properties out there now that we call distressed properties. These are bank foreclosures or short sales. And a lot of times they carry with them real problems that if a buyer isn't aware of what they're looking at, they don't know. Like, for instance, I looked at a listing this morning, and it was nothing but studs, and everything was painted white. Well, that's a property where there was mold present, and they had to rip out everything and then spray it for mold. So, you know, these are the kinds of things, and the ability to tell a buyer what to look for in a neighborhood, to drive around ahead of time and look for people outside working on their cars in the front yard, or trash cans that are not picked up, or whatever. There's just so many things involved in a real estate transaction that a buyer agent can help a buyer with when it comes to making up their mind what should they do, especially inspections. I just got finished one transaction in Randallstown, and there's like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different inspections that have to be coordinated. They have to be done in a certain order, and then when issues come up, you have to know what the time frame is that you have to deal with the issues, how to deal with them, what to ask the other party to do. It's just, it's a lot of stuff.
And so the marketing analysis statement, what role does that play, or how does the marketing analysis statement help the buyer?
Are you talking about the competitive market analysis, the CMA?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes, the competitive.
Yeah, that's a very important part of the process because, okay, you've done your job as a buyer agent. You've helped the buyer determine which property they want to buy. The next logical question is, how much should I offer? And, you know, how do you go about that? Well, the first thing you do is you look at similar properties in the same market area to see what they have sold for. And that's what a comparative market analysis is. The real estate agent can, using multiple lists, can create a report that shows that buyer, well, okay, you're looking for a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath rancher with a 2-car garage, and maybe in Owings Mills, 21117, and that analysis can show, well, over the last 6 months, here's what's on the market, here's the price range, here's what's under contract, and here is what has settled. And so that gives them an idea of whether this property is drastically overpriced and therefore they shouldn't offer as much as is being asked, or whether they need to offer more, or are they going to be in competition, or what. You know, it just gives them an idea of where to start.
I see. And also, dual agency, how does dual agency benefit today's buyer? How does that work for today's buyer? I'm sorry, go ahead.
that's a good question because I'm not so sure it benefits them. A dual agent is when you see a house for sale, that company that's on that for sale sign represents the seller. The logical thing that used to happen would be a buyer would see the sign and call the number on the sign. When they call into that office, every agent in that office represents the seller. So if that buyer then wanted to put an offer on that property, the broker would make sure that there was a separate agent for the buyer and a separate agent for the seller, if the buyer is working with an agent from the company. Those agents would be dual agents, one representing the seller and one representing the buyer.
And also, Jean, for as a broker, when you're recruiting agents, is it something in particular, and this is for those listeners who may be agents and they may be looking for a new opportunity, when you interview agents, what process do you go through as it relates to talent acquisition that you would bring these agents in and have them to see the difference between working for you With all your experience and leadership and management experience that I know you have, what benefit does that agent, whether it's an emerging real estate agent or a seasoned one, is it anything in particular that you look for within these people as they come towards you?
Well, most real estate companies have what we call a floor duty agent, which means
okay.
that they handle walk-in traffic and they handle calls. And that's how they get their business. I don't have that kind of a business. I have a business where agents work from their home. And if a call comes in on a property, it goes to that agent. So first and foremost, any agents coming to work for me have to have a source of business. I have two agents who work for me who used to have their own mortgage company. And so they have ties into the mortgage industry, and they get constant flow of business from there.
Yes.
I have another agent coming to work for me who works for the federal government, and she has a built-in source of business from the office that she works in. That's what I'm looking for, is someone who is set up, doesn't need me to provide them with business. Now, I do have leads that I do give out to my agents. But for the most part, they have to have their own sphere of influence, which means that most agents starting out in the business don't want to come work for me because they have no business. They
right.
want to go work for a company that's located really well with lots of call-in business and lots of walk-in business.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of agents that come to me, and I have one coming in November for just this reason, are agents who like to who like knowing that they have someone who is available 24/7 to answer questions, to give advice, to help them with the difficult transaction, to also I'm heavily involved in the legislative activities on the state level, so I know what's going on, and that's where I get my agents from, agents who want someone who is there, doing the business, knows the business, and is available whenever they need them. And that's who I
see.
I am.
I see. Absolutely, absolutely. Very well put for the listeners to hear exactly, the difference between you as a broker and as a leader and as a manager versus someone who they may not necessarily get the tools from in order to do a successful job as well as to be successful in their own way. The third question, Gene, can you discuss the process of seller representation?
That's really good, especially since I said that it's going to be going the way of the dinosaur. But right now, it's still there. So yes, it is a process that we need to talk about and be considering. And it's funny that you ask that because my class right now, my master's degree, is on marketing. And just last night I made a comment about how times have changed and no longer is it a situation where a real estate agent just puts a listing in multiple lists and says show and sell and puts a sign in front of the property and expects that it will sell. You have to do more than that. We're seeing a lot of agents who are advising the sellers on emptying out their houses. You go to look at houses nowadays, and there's virtually nothing in them. A lot of them are staged, and this is all information that comes from a seller agent, because that seller agent, their job is to get the house sold, and so their job is to know what today's buyer wants, and today's buyer wants a turnkey house. They want to be able to walk in and go to work the next day.
I see.
They also are involved with advising the seller on just like with the buyer, whether or not it's a good deal, what the seller should do in the way of negotiating the offer to maybe make it better for them. The seller agent also is involved with the inspections. The seller agent knows the inspections that are going to be required or requested on that particular property and therefore can advise the seller in advance You need to get this done. You need to get that done. I showed a property today. There's water in the basement. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you don't want water in a basement when people are looking at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are the kinds of things that the seller agent does and takes care of, hopefully before the property goes on the market, so that it will sell for the best possible price in the shortest amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So one of the concentrations of the seller should always be curb appeal?
Absolutely. Well, the most important thing, yeah, the most important thing is curb appeal, because you want people to come in your house. So your house has to appeal to them when they pull up. I've had buyers who told me when I've pulled up in front of a house, they just look at it from the outside and say, no, I don't like this house. I don't want to go in. So, yeah, you have to have that appeal. You know, I'll tell my sellers to take the screens out of the windows, because screens in the window darken the windows and make a house look depressing. I'll tell them to put red in front of the house, some kind of red flowers or something like that. You know, clean up the front of the house. I'm in the front door. Obviously, once they're in the front door, you have to worry about, but that's the most important step, because you're also setting the emotion for that buyer when they walk in that front door and they feel good about the house.
Absolutely. I so agree with you. In fact, I know when I was much more fluent in the real estate industry, of which I spent 16 or 17 years within the industry, and during that time, you could put a house on the market, and by the end of the day, you would have 3, 4, 5 contracts coming into the door to choose from.
Yeah, those were the good days.
Those were the good days, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those were the good days. And one of the things that I would tell my sellers as a seller representation, whether it was in new home sales, which I enjoyed very much, was the idea of keeping everything as it was when you moved in. Meaning if the walls were antique white, that's what you kept them, if in fact that you were planning to sell at some point in the future. Because if you do that, if you keep everything afresh, then of course it appeals more than something that where you, someone has walked in and let's just say you have wall panel on a wall.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have wallpaper on the wall.
Oh,
these are all
death.
Things that
yeah.
will come across as turnoffs. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The next question, Jean, are there any programs for our listeners that would assist them with closing costs at
all
at this point in time?
Yeah, there's tons of programs out there. It just depends on your qualifications. Like, for instance, I think it's the Navy Federal Credit Union does 100% financing. You don't have to have a down payment. There's another program out there called the Doctor Program. If you're a doctor or you're in medical school or something like that, they do 100% financing. They have programs that are income dependent, like for instance the settlement expense loan program that's offered through your various counties and is financed through state bonds that are put out every year. That gives you, it depends on what the current issue is, but that can give you anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 towards your down payment and closing costs. But all you have to do is Google that information, because there are literally hundreds of programs. There are programs called Live Near Your Work, where if, like, for instance, if you work for Hopkins and you're going to live somewhere near Hopkins, they'll match your money. There's a city program where if you take a trolley ride, they have guided rides a couple times a year. You go on that ride, you get a certificate at the end, and it's good for $1,000 or more towards the purchase of a home. So there's a lot of them out there. They're there, and yeah. You don't need to think just because you don't have money for a down payment that you can't buy a house.
I see. And so if you had to inform our listeners of some pitfalls that may be out there that they could avoid, Jean, could you elaborate a little bit on those pitfalls, if you will?
Well, I think the biggest concern that I have is when buyers go and they get a company, an internet company, for financing purposes. It creates all kinds of issues because if it's a national company, quite often they don't know local stuff, like, for instance, ground rents. I've had them not even realize that we pay property taxes twice a year rather than once a year. So I always tell buyers, start with the bank that you do business with now. See what they think about you, whether or not you can purchase, and what they think you could qualify for, and then work from there.
I see. And so it's fair to say that if you stay with what you know, what you have, the results will be much more positive in just going through the process of getting, you know, what you need, when you need it, and then obviously when you get to the table, you don't have to put your focus on what I would call the 11th hour things that just pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah. I work real hard to try and keep that from happening. That's not fun.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I so understand that because I have seen that on many, 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 many occasions where persons, you know, come in and it said that, well, no, instead of 2,000, you need 2,100. Of course, you know, buyers feel some kind of way about that because in their mind, they would much rather not give, you know, too much if they don't have to. Let me put it that way.
Absolutely. Well, they usually don't have it.
Absolutely. Because as it has been said for years and years and years, the purchase of a home is one of the biggest purchases that you will ever make. And so therefore it comes with a lot of detail, it comes with a lot of process. Of course, you know, you're going to, you know, be filling out so many papers at that point in time during the settlement that, you know, for a while you're not going to even want to see an ink pen.
That's right. Let alone be able to grasp one.
Absolutely. When you lay it down, you want to kind of lay it down is what you want to be able to do.
Yes. You're right there.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jean, we have come to the very end of our show together. I want to really, really, really thank you for your insight, your wisdom, your honesty about the home buying process, what it means to you, what it should mean to everybody. So I want to thank you for joining us, Jean, and I am so looking forward to, you know, the next stage or next process of our time together and working various platforms that we have situated now and looking forward to, you know, seeing, as they would say, the harvest come into what it is we do, because we're not just people saying we have an idea. We are people saying that we have a solution. And I believe that as long as you are the answer to the various questions that are out there, you'll always be in a position to help somebody. So thank you very much, Jean. Say again.
Leroy. I said the helping is the best part.
Absolutely. I so agree. So for all of the listeners out there, I'm more than just certain that you've received a wealth of information. And if I could just ask everyone to do just three things for me, I would simply ask everyone to live hard, live long, but most importantly, live right. And until we are able to have these levels of conversations again, I will say unto you, have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking to you during the Mortgage Desk Financial Workshop. Thank you.